Father, it's in that wonderful name again that we come, the name of Jesus. And Lord, the irony of the very simple fact that we are in this place tonight, reading from your word, Lord, it seems almost prophetic. All the things that are going on around us in the world, nations lining up against the state of Israel. Some of the things that have been said, Lord, even today, Lord, one leader of the free world simply said we need to have a new world order. And Lord, we've preached about that. We've heard sermons on that. We've read books about, Lord, such words as those and such things being said as that. But then, Lord, to hear it, Lord, it just brings a whole new excitement to us. God, give us wisdom tonight as we look in your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I referenced in my prayer that to hear those words just spouted out, that it brings and generates an excitement. I pray that is your response. Not one of fear, but one of excitement. Why? Because we love the Word of God. We've trusted the Word of God in our salvation. And when we see these glimpses of things that could possibly continue to point us to the end times, ladies and gentlemen, it ought to just stir you to a new height of spiritual glory. Why? Because all that we've prayed about, all that we've read, all that we've heard, all that we've seen, it seems as if it's the stage is being set for us. And that it should do a number of things. One, it should excite us because that means it's getting closer. Now, again, the rapture of the church, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the rapture of the church, there's no signs or warnings that when it happens and when it comes. He mentions that, by the way, in verse 3. He's talking about how that when judgment comes and destruction comes. Now, that's not the rapture. That's going to be the second coming of Christ. But when you back up and you think about the rapture of the church and you think about that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. Again, let me remind you, here's the chronology of it. The rapture of the church takes place. 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to what? He's going to give the Jewish nation free realm. He's actually going to protect them. In a few moments, we're going to go to Ezekiel 38. I'm going to show you those verses where it was prophesied. And then you're going to have the armies of the world, Russia especially, and probably the Islamic world. They're going to come together and they're going to march on Israel. Now, all that's going to happen in the first 3.5 years. We could go to Revelation. It talks about the different riders of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the different colored horses. And you can see how that there's going to be a time of peace. That's the rider on the white horse. Then it's going to be a time of, I believe it's the black horse, the red horse, and then the pale horse. And all of those are going to come together. But then the armies of Israel, I'm sorry, the armies of Russia and I believe the Islamic armies, they're going to die on the mountains. And I'm going to point that verse out to you in Ezekiel 39. But then what happens at the 3.5 year mark? The Antichrist is going to go in. He's going to sit down in the Holy of Holies. By the way, he's going to allow the Jews to rebuild the temple. At the 3.5 year mark, that's the beginning of what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. So he's going to sit down in the Holy of Holies. He's going to desecrate it. It's going to be called the Abomination of Desolation. And he's going to pronounce to all the world that what? He's God. And then the Jews are told to flee. That's where Matthew 24 and 25 come in. The Jews are told to flee. Don't go back to your house. If you're on the rooftop, come down. If you're in the field, do not go home. Flee. Some are going to run to Petra. Some are going to run to Masada. They're just going to flee. Why? Because there is going to be an intentional, purposeful annihilation of anything or anyone who worships anything else besides the Antichrist. So the Jews and the Christians and anybody else, they're going to have to hide. That's when the mark of the beast and all those things kick in. Now, what happens the last 3.5 years? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight if we have time, and my time is getting away, so it may be next Wednesday night. We're going to do a quick survey of the Revelation, the book of Revelation next Wednesday night. But then what happens at the end of the 7 years? Tribulation. Battle of Armageddon. Jesus comes back. Second coming. Now, the first coming, he came to the earth as a baby. The second coming, the Bible says, is coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. First time he came as an innocent babe, he would be the perfect sacrifice who would take away the sins of the world. But the next time he comes, and you say, what about the rapture? No, the rapture of the church, he doesn't come back to the earth. He stops in the clouds. Thessalonians is very clear about that. But in the second coming, he's coming back to the earth. The Bible says that his feet are going to land on the Mount of Olives, that he's going to rule and reign for over 1,000 years. That's called the millennial reign on the earth. Now, those are the big things. But now let's talk about what Paul is after here. Look what he says again in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, why would he say that? I mentioned this the other day. It's simply because he's already shared with them a lot of these times and seasons. That's what a lot about what the rapture is about. He's already told them that there's going to come a day. Now, let's stop for a moment. When did he say all this? 2,000 years ago. You say, and some would say skeptically, well, it hasn't happened yet. Don't forget that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. It's still going to happen. No matter the time frame, God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we've always talked, I mean, Dr. Hutchinson, you say this all the time. He says, I pray it will be in my lifetime. Dr. Hutchinson's 76 years old, getting ready to be, and it may very well be in his lifetime. We may get to see the Lord Jesus and the rapture of the church. But now watch verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, that's the second coming. When they say the day of the Lord, it's talking about a day of judgment. Now, I want to show you something that takes place. Look in verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 1, he talks about ye, I, and you. In verse 2, he uses the word yourselves. But now watch what happens when he gets to verse 3. There's a change in the pronouns. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. There's a great division there. Why the change in the pronouns? Well, because, again, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to be here when the judgment day comes. In the second coming, when Jesus comes back to the earth, we're not going to be here, but we are going to be with Him when He comes back. Now, folks, when you put all that together, that's why I tell you, that's why you need to be excited. That's why you can be excited. I was already judged. Where? At the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago for all my sins, past, present, and future. I've already been judged for that. The Lord Jesus Christ was my Savior. He was my substitute. He is my risen Lord. He is my Redeemer. He's all of those things. I am just as sure for heaven as if I was already there. As a matter of fact, in God's mind, I'm already there. I'm in heaven. Are you that sure? I'm that sure that God said that I am. So I'm just waiting for the trumpet to sound and I'm gone. And if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to be listening for that trumpet too. But now here's the other thing. Not only should we be excited about it, but knowing what the Word of God says, knowing what the Scriptures say, and you say, well, what if you get one? Listen, if I get one of those things out of order, that's going to be okay. It's going to be better than I could ever imagine anyway. And so what I'm saying is simply this. Not only should we be excited, but as was mentioned by Robin, we need to continue to be what? Evangelistic. We need to continue without a shame, without apology, tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know this. We're living in a day they don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear about God's name. They don't. I mean, they're just everything is just negative. And again, I tell you, if they don't believe in it and it's not that big a deal, then why do they get all upset about it? Why do they get all bent out of shape about it? But yet they'll let other religions and everybody else come in there and pray. Because you know why? Because that's all false and because we've got the real thing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the saints are going to be directed by Scripture. That's what Paul, because when he says verse 2, he's just reminding them what has already been told them from the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:10. All of those things are there. But now watch verse 3, and I want to say there just for a few minutes, and then I'm going to close tonight. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Turn real quick to Ezekiel chapter 38. Let me show you these two verses, and then we're going to wind it up tonight. Ezekiel 38. Okay, that's in the Old Testament, Linda. Thought I'd help her out there. Back to the left. Oh, it's Risa. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. We'll be patient. Are they on any committees or anything? We got to make sure, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Ezekiel 38, look in verse 14. Ezekiel 38, verse 14. Therefore, son of man. Now, who's son of man? That's Ezekiel the prophet. Prophesy and say unto Gog. Now, who's Gog? That's Russia. It's a country to the north of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from the place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty armor. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old times by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass, verse 18, at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. For I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Now some say, well, it sounds like there's going to be an earthquake. It sounds like there's just going to be chaos. But now watch chapter 39, verse 1. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring them upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and the people that is with thee. And I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Then he says, I, the Lord God, have spoken it. Now, you know what? If you think about it, where was a time that we would think that, oh, that's never going to happen? Ladies and gentlemen, every day when I cut on the news, it's just, there it is again. It's all there. As God's people, we ought not to be surprised. And as God's people, we need not be ashamed or embarrassed. Because when it's all over, said, and done, thus saith the Lord. He's my Savior. He's my King. Everybody else can say what they want to, but nothing's going to happen until He says so. You say, preacher, you believe that? It's more than to believe in that. I'm excited about what He's getting ready to do. He's going to prove, just we've read it in 38, He's going to prove to the world that He's God. He's going to prove it. He tried to do it with grace and mercy through His Son, the Lord Jesus. But at last, when mankind rejects Him, God will do it with power and judgment. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this night. Thank You for the business You've allowed us to transact. But most of all, thank You that Your Word reminds us of the promises of God. Nothing can happen against the church unless You allow it. And when You do allow those things to happen against Your church, Your bride, Lord, there's grace and mercy abundant. I pray that in these days, Lord, we'd not be fearful. We would not only be excited, but we would be evangelistic, telling others that Jesus loves them, that God cares for them. In His name we pray. Amen.